Well, it's a good place to be this morning, isn't it? In the presence of God. I love being in the presence of God with, you know, a host of people. People all aiming towards the same thing. All together in one place, in one accord. We know something great happens when that comes together, don't we? They were all together in one place, in one accord. Hallelujah. I like getting together with the Lord myself, you know, like I did this morning. It was a good time. It was a beautiful morning. How many just feel thankful for such a beautiful morning? And but I like this, you know. I like to see old friends and family. It's just a blessing. You know, we're in the middle of this series called Defend the Land. Defend the Land. And that's pretty important. You know, I see fathers as defenders. I mean, that's what I always felt that my role was to be a defender of my children, you know, my property, my all that. I really took that quite seriously. And I learned it from other spiritual fathers. My father was not there, you know what I mean? He was there, but he wasn't there. He was kind of absent. It was awkward for him to be a dad. It was just really awkward for him. And so he was always trying to escape and get up early than everybody and leave, you know, without us. And we would kind of want to go with him, you know. And that was so hard for him. But he got us through, and he was a good provider, and I thank God for him, you know. But a couple weeks ago, I started talking about Pentecost Sunday. It was Pentecost Sunday 2 weeks ago. And Peter is really one of my spiritual fathers. I just feel like I know Peter, you know, because I'm like Peter. I mess it up all the time. You know, I can mess it up. I can do the wrong thing a lot and say the wrong thing. And so we were looking at Peter. You know, and he was a spiritual father that kind of, he got an awareness of what was going on. And that's the kind of spiritual fathers that we need today. Spiritual fathers who have awareness of what's happening, you know. And it says in Acts 2, it says people were perplexed and they were saying, what could this all mean? And we have a lot of people in this hour saying, what can all this mean? You know, they're perplexed, they're confused. And we need spiritual fathers to stand up. And that's exactly what he did. But Peter standing up. You know, spiritual fathers have to take a stand for something, don't they? I mean, our children need to see us taking a stand in this hour. What are we standing for? You know, I've heard it said, if you, you know, don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. How many heard that one? I mean, you know, you got to take a stand. You really got to take a stand in this hour. You know, it says, and he raised his voice. Now, I have taken a stand and raised my voice many times. Ask Andrew. He's here with me this morning. You know, but you know what? If you do it in anger, they don't listen. You know that? I mean, I can see the thing go right across, you know, if you do it in anger. How many of you have stood up and in anger raised your voice? Now, it gets a lot of attention, all right, but it doesn't go very deep. I'm telling you, it just does not go deep. But when you stand up and raise your voice in love, oh, man, it changes hearts. See, when your kids know, and it takes them a while, and it takes you a while to change your approach. When your kids know that it's out of love. It's out of love that you're standing up and raising your voice. It's really out of love. And you have to have that love, that concern. They have to know that you love them beyond anything. And Peter understood this. He stood up in love and he raised his voice to them. And he said, Men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Take heed of my word, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour. But this is what was spoken of by another spiritual father, Joel. So he's repeating what Joel said. And Joel is a spiritual father. So we need spiritual fathers that we can mimic and repeat. Spiritual fathers. Not what the local news is saying, not what the talking heads are saying, but what spiritual fathers who are really concerned and loving you are saying in this hour. That's what we need. Men of God, to stand up and stand for what we believe. We really need to stand up and in love say, heed my words. Heed my words. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying this morning. See, a light went on in him. He had read Joel his whole life probably, or heard it read in the temple. And all of a sudden he says, this is that. This is that which was spoken of. Bingo. I get it. How many are getting it? See, we're defending a culture. And this is the birth of a new culture right here. This is the birth of a new culture. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. See, it has come to pass in these last days. The old is gone and the new has come. That's the last days. It's the last days of the old covenant. It's dying. It's going down. The old covenant, he's getting it. That the old covenant is finished with. The old covenant is gone. Oh, yay. Old things have passed away. Behold, get a hold of this. All things are becoming new. All things are becoming new. That's what's happening. It's a new day. A cultural shift has happened. It's no more the law. It's no more Moses and Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, people want Moses and Jesus. You can't have Moses and Jesus. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what it's all about. He says, this is that. And it says, I will pour out my spirit. The spirit of what? Comfort. The spirit of edification. The spirit of exhortation. The spirit of love. I'm going to pour out my spirit, the spirit of love, on all flesh. On everyone in the room. It's for everybody. You know, somebody said to me last week, I want what you have. Oh, you can have it. You can have it because I just have the Holy Spirit. I just have the Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? Mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and they're going to speak edification, exhortation, and comfort. All flesh. Young, what does it say right there? It says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Anybody can do that. Not judgment, condemnation, ridicule. No. Out of love, people who are in love with humanity can speak love anywhere, at any time. It's so easy. Young men shall see visions. Oh, my goodness. How many have a vision? I have a vision for this country. I have a vision for this church. I have a vision. And it comes out of a heart of love for people and community. Oh, love never fails. Love never fails. It says, and on my men servants and my maid servants, men and women, not just men, but men and women are able to prophesy. Oh, I love when a prophetic voice sings, a woman's prophetic voice sings prophecy over people. It goes so deep. It's so wonderful. Prophetic prophecy. It's beautiful. Sandy can do it. Oh my gosh, she can do it. Just sing. Sing in the spirit. Sing in the spirit. It says, I will pour out my spirit in those days. What days are we talking about? See, we're ushering in a new culture based on a new covenant, and the covenant is love. An everlasting covenant. The sure mercies of David. Let that love will never fail. We're ushering in a new culture to defend the land. That's how we defend the land. In this new culture, it's not by weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to pulling down of strongholds. Because we love. It's out of love. Not out of condemnation or guilt or anger or frustration. We stand up. And we say, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Whew, say it with me. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Wow. oh my goodness, this is such a great message. This is an incredible message. Oh, he's just repeating what his spiritual father said. They're drunk on love. They're not drunk on new wine. They're how many ever been drunk on love? Whew. That's how you got married, probably. I mean, that's probably how I had kids. Drunk on love. Love drunk, you know. Woo. How do you stay love drunk? You know, stay in the spirit. You got to stay in the spirit. I mean, you know, it wears off. You know, you got to keep drinking. You got to keep drinking. Joy and love in the Holy Spirit. This is the spirit. This is a spiritual truth. This is a spiritual truth that we're speaking today. Philippians 1:9 says, let love abound more and more and more. There's no end to it. We put a little limit on it. Here, I'm going to give you a little mercy today. Take a little mercy. Oh, wait, that's too much. You know, we don't want to do that. Let me have some back. You know. Here's a little joy, but don't get too joyful, you know. Here's a little forgiveness. Don't do that again, you know. I mean, that's we're stingy with God's grace. It says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Sin will never overtake grace. Grace is abounding and abounding and abounding. What does that look like? Abounding and abounding and abounding and abounding. You know? Whew. Oh my, I got my running shoes on today. These are my running shoes. I went to Jamaica with these two guys. These are the same shoes I wore in Jamaica. I never took them off. Can you tell? I love these guys. Man, praise the Lord. They came from my youth group, and we went to Jamaica, and I went to Jamaica with Diane, and, oh, we just defending the land. Defending the land. Speaking love wherever we went. Now, look at this. Look at this. Over in Hebrews. Now, Ron didn't get this because I got it this morning. Boy, this word is significant, and it's a sign. It says the Holy Spirit is indicating, or the Holy Spirit is a sign that the way into the holies of holies has not been made manifest while the first tabernacle is standing. Is the first tabernacle standing today? No. It's gone away. Sacrifices are gone. And the Holy Spirit is a sign that the end is near. The end of that system is near. Verse 11, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, did you bring a Bible? Oh, my goodness. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come. That's what we're enjoying this morning. The good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Right here. This tabernacle, filled with the Spirit. This is the tabernacle. When the first was standing, they went to that tabernacle. We go to this tabernacle. It's our flesh. It's our body. It says, not with the blood of goats and of calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. Everlasting cleansing. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more? See, I want to live in the how much more. Most people are living in the how much less. I want to live in the how much more. How much more? How much more, it says, through the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit offering himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works. See, people are trying to still get it by what they do, not by what they got. They're living in the how much less rather than the how much more. See, I'm living in the how much more. I want to have what you have. You can. You know, the old is gone. The new has come. Live in the new. Newness of life. Newness of love. Live in the how much more. How much more? Up to here with religion? Are you up to here with religion? Then you need the much more. I know people would never come back. They'll never come back. Met a couple last night, they'll say, never come back. Why? Because they're here with religion. See, they're up to here with religion, the law, Moses, a little Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How much more will the precious blood of Jesus cleanse you from all sickness? Cleanse you from all sickness. Whew. How much more? Oh, I sit and meditate on that. I meditate on this more. How much more will the precious blood of Jesus cleanse me from sickness? Oh, hallelujah. Stand in that place. How much more? That's the eternal spirit. You know, Jesus is telling them what he, as a spiritual father, told the disciples. He's telling them right now. He says, the end is near. In 70 AD, the tabernacle was destroyed. It was the end of sacrifices. Prepare. The end is more. The end is coming. Be prepared for the much more. The much more. A much better sacrifice. He says it over in Acts 1:4. Look over. Acts 1:4. Ron's got that one. Acts 1:4. What's Jesus say? For being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Wait. Wait a minute. For what? The promise of the Father. See, some of us are so disappointed by our earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers have so disappointed that we just go out and do it ourselves. I can do that. I got this. See, we need to wait. Wait. We need to wait and take heed to what the Father, the Spirit, is saying to the churches. He's saying, wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you have heard from me. Now, is Jesus a reliable source in your life? Hallelujah. Wait for the promise of the Father. This is that. Here it comes. Be prepared. Get ready. Oh, it's going to fall. It's going to fall. It's going to happen. For John truly baptized with water. So man's baptism is good. Okay, it's good. We've made sort of a ritual out of it. But God's baptism is better. See, fire is better than water, folks. I've been baptized in water, but when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in fire, hallelujah. Oh my goodness, it changed my life. I was filled with the Spirit of God. We were in a move of God and we were filled with the Spirit of God. It changed the community, changed our hearts, changed everything about us. Oh my goodness, it was an outpouring. And it says, but you shall receive power. What? To defend the land. You'll receive power to defend the culture. You'll receive power to defend your family. You'll know how to pray. You can pray in the spirit. You can pray in your understanding also. You can pray for your family. You can defend the land. He wants to empower us with his Holy Spirit to be defenders of the faith. Defenders of the faithful. Oh, see, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're still trying to do it in your own works. You're going to fail. You're going to get tired. You're going to quit. You're going to be up to here with religion, not ever doing enough or feeling like you're enough. I'm more than enough because I'm filled with the Spirit even when I blow it. Whew. And I do blow it. Believe me. I can get Andrew to testify. Come on, testify, Andrew. Abby can testify when I blow it. Oh, my gosh. And you always blow it in front of your whole family, you know. Then you're a hypocrite. You know what I mean? Oh, I want to be genuine. Don't you want to be genuine? I want to be the real deal. I want to be the real thing. God wants to make you authentic by filling you with his Spirit. Filling you with your Spirit. But sometimes you just got to wait. Sometimes you just got to wait. It says you will receive power as it come on, and you shall be a witness to me in Judea and Samaria and even Cleveland and to the ends of the earth. See, God wants to give us this power. Wait for the shift. We're waiting for the shift, aren't we? And there's a shift coming. There's another shift coming. We live where things shifted. It's going to shift again. And we're going to be still standing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be with arms of love, not ridicule or judgment or criticism, but arms of love. I'm in love with humanity. Whew. I love humanity. God loves humanity. And he wants to pour out his spirit of flesh, his spirit of love on all flesh. What do you think it was? Just speaking in tongues? No, it's love, 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 love. See? Because speaking in tongues can fail, you know, but love never fails. Love never fails. We can make speaking in tongues a doctrine, and it divides rather than brings us together. Love brings us together. Whew. Brings us together. Oh, go to the ends of the earth. I want to go over to, how about John? Did I ever finish Joel? Let's go look at Joel. Maybe I didn't even finish it. Oh, he says right there. He says, I stop there. I will pour out my spirit of love in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above. I wonder what's happening. People are falling in love. People are talking about love. Not about the law, not about criticism. Not I blow people away. You know, it's not about going to church, folks. Okay, now what? I thought it was about going to church. You know, no, it's not about going to church. It's about love. About loving God. Loving, he loves you. Love it. You got to change hearts. You got to change hearts. You know, I wrote something the other day. I wrote it down there, and I got a little criticism about it. I said, make love your God. Make love your God. Well, I was trying to reach people. Because people have a hard time, the people I know, the people that they have a hard time with a personal God. And you know what? I got a great response from the young church. I said, I know that many people have a difficult time with the idea of a personal God. Let love be your God. Kind of a back door, you know what I mean? Is God love? Yeah, then let love be your God. Let love be your God. Let love be your point of reference. Let love be your prayer. Let love be your soul, your song. Let love heal you and those around you. Let love be. Let love be. And I got a response of people who don't believe in a personal God, and they say, hey, that's good. See, we got to demonstrate love to this culture in a different way, in a whole different way. We have to have the Holy Spirit and let us be creative about how revealing God to a culture who is divided and loveless. How do we do it? By being holier than thou? By telling them they got to come to church at 10:30 in the morning? They got to pray for hours? They got to, you know, I mean, they got to read the Bible through? I mean, what? You know, that approach is not working, folks. How many got their Bible this morning? Oh, boy. You're doomed. You don't have it, the rest of you? You know what I mean? You know, people don't carry their Bible anymore. Come on. It's old-fashioned. Big, it's black and scary. You know, walk into the room like this. Hi. Oh my gosh, people get terrified, you know. Oh my God, where was I? It says, I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Expect surprises. I mean, just expect surprises. I expect surprises every day. That the Holy Spirit's going to do stuff above and beyond what I can even ask or think. Signs and wonders. That's the kind of spiritual father I am. Signs and wonders. Peter got it finally. He got it and he said, this is that. This is that. It wasn't like he was told. Jesus told him, you know, what's going to happen. Let's go over to John 14. John 14. All right. Says in John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. A lot of people are scared. They're worried. They're anxious. You know, the pharmaceutical companies are going big guns, you know. Not to, you know, if you need medication, take it. But I mean, this people are fearful. People are afraid. People are worried. And he says in John 14, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, hallelujah, thank you, Father, will send in my name. See, the Father wants to defend us. And the defender is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that defends us. The culture of hate and division is trying to rip love out of your heart and cause division and hatred of people groups. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring us together. The Spirit, He's pouring His Spirit out on all flesh. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out your Spirit in this hour like never before. It says that He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance the things I have said to you. Ding. What? The Holy Spirit. If you're trying to father without the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you. If you're trying to pastor without the Holy Spirit, if you're trying to, you know, do things without your, you need help, folks. You need edification, exhortation, and comfort on a daily basis. Your children need edification, exhortation, and comfort on a daily basis. What do you think email's for? What do you think texting is for? To prophetically speak to those around you. Edification, exhortation, and comfort, not judgment, criticism, and anger and frustration. Whew. What do you think Facebook is for? Whew. It's technology that God wants us to use to pour out the Spirit on all flesh. Oh, hallelujah. To prophesy. You can prophesy on that thing and don't use Scripture. I mean, don't you know, puke Scripture out on everybody. Give a word of edification. I mean, be creative. Let God be creative with you. Oh, my goodness. That's what He needs, an outpouring of creativity. Oh, you know, pictures of His creation. I mean, I know you have to rein yourself in. His creation is so incredible and so beautiful. You know, let the glory of God be revealed. You know. Now, how can I word that in a different way that doesn't make me sound religious, you know? And, you know, everybody's going, ooh, come on. That spiritual fathers remind us of the promises of God. Oh, His unconditional love, the sure mercies of David, the grace upon grace, peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Whew. So many people feel forsaken, unloved, unworthy, oh, unhappy. We have a power of the Holy Spirit to defend this land, I'm telling you. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to defend our position. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to defend this culture that we're in, this counterculture of God, the kingdom of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Whoo, hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit. Oh, He says, where was I? John 14. Right there, He says, I love this part. My peace I leave with you. Peace with God. Peace with God. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. There's nothing worse than a Christian walking around without blessed assurance. Always trying to perform, always trying to earn God's favor and those around him. I am fully persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I am fully persuaded. It took me a long time to get there, you know, and I had to ignore a lot of preachers, but I'm fully persuaded. Yes. I'm fully persuaded that you're in one week, you're out the next, in one week, out the next. You know, I'm in. I'm not out. I'm not going out. Whew. I am fully persuaded. Am I persuading you? Oh, He loves you. He loves you. Peace that passes all understanding. Listen to what that word means. It's the word arene, and it means a state of national tranquility. What nation? The kingdom. His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's transforming this earth into His kingdom. On an incremental basis, expect signs and wonders. Expect surprises, folks, like you've never seen before. Oh my goodness, how exciting. What a time to live in. Perfect love, pour out perfect love. That brings peace. Pour out the love of the Spirit. It says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it. Don't expect any peace in the world. Oh, we're praying for world peace. We're praying for world. You know, can we pray a little harder? Can we get a little few more people together? You know, can we get about, if we could get, what's the number? 5,000. You know, if we could get 10,000. If we could, you know, Tim didn't come, so he blew it. If you would have been there, Tim, we're missing one person, and you didn't listen to God. Oh, my gosh. No, God wants to do it more than we want it done. He wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh more than we want it done. We're in the middle of a wonderful revival, and you know, we're going to demonstrate it as one in a couple weeks here in Azusa Street. Oh, it's a wonderful thing going on. Where was I again? Where was I, Sandy? Yeah, John 14. John 14. Now, I want to invite the worship team back. How many love that worship team? Amen. Are they here? Come on, guys. Woo. Peace that passes all understanding. A state of tranquility in a huge mess. In where there seems to be no peace, you could be at peace. Peace that the people around you don't understand. They don't get it. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not your own peace. It's the peace that He leaves with you. It's the peace He gives to you. Oh, Lord, give me that peace. Give me that peace. How many need that peace? Whew. Peace that passes understanding. Now, we're going to end in Psalm 46. I'm reading the Bible backwards. Psalm 40, how many know what that feels like? If you're left-handed, you probably... Psalm 46. Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and our strength. God is our peace. If God is love, God's love is our refuge and our strength. Knowing God's love is our refuge and our strength. You can't know peace without knowing His love, without being convinced of His love. And I'm here to convince you, He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Whew. So much going on. A troubled world. We have troubles within this place. People have trouble. They have difficulty. They have sickness. They have, you know, all kinds of things going on. But God is very present. God is aware of it. God is aware of everything that you're going through. And He wants to pour out your love. See, we have something to stand for, don't we? We really have something to stand for. We need to stand in the gap for people who don't know His love, who are not sure of His love. Therefore, what? We will not fear. There's no fear in the perfect love of God. If I have a people group that are assured of His love, there'll be no fear, only peace. Whew, that's a wonderful place. I want to be in that place. Everybody in one accord, in one place, no fear. Perfect peace. Man, I want to go to that place once a week, you know. I want to get to that place and feel that kind of love and that kind of confidence, that kind of joy. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. So is it about territory? Is it about the land? Cleveland? No. Is it about turf? No. Is it about territory and neighborhoods? No. Even though the earth be removed. It's not about that. It's about an ideal, folks. It's about a message. It's about the good news. That's what it's about. That's what we're defending, not turf. And we you know, cherish the land. We see the land as precious. We see the earth as precious. But it says right here, it says, even though the earth be removed, even though it's gone, we still have the same message. We still have the same ideals. We still have faith, don't we? It says, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away and in the midst of the sea, it all evaporates, we still have the same message. Peace that passes all understanding. Joy to the world. Oh, everlasting love, everlasting. I mean, I'm telling you, do you believe that, folks? Do you believe that this morning? And it says, though the waters roar and be troubled. Oh, there's trouble on every side. Just turn on the news. Who are you listening to? Fathers, what are you telling your children? You know, what are you repeating? What Jesus said, what the Father said, what Joel said, what Paul said. That's who you need to be repeating. That's what you need to be talking about. It says, there is a river. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. I asked the worship team to do this song because it's kind of like our anthem here at Oak River. Amen. It really is. And I just heard Megan singing it all week long. I heard that voice, you know. I'm surprised she's not tired this morning. You know. And they have so graciously said that they will do it. There is a river, an Oak River. It says, whose streams shall make glad the city of God. What's the city of God? The people of God. It's not just Cleveland. It's not just, you know, Cincinnati. It's just not in New York. It's the people of God. A city represents the people. So there is a river in the midst of us, the river of the Holy Spirit, that will make glad the people of God. Are you glad this morning? A holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. See, we carry that spirit with us. That peace, that love, that joy, we carry all those things with us. God shall help us, just as the break of dawn. It says, the nations rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with you. That's the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are with you. Three in one. All that is poured out upon us. The spirit of love, the full flow of his power is with us this morning. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Whew. Have we got something to stand for, folks? Well, then let's stand together. We're going to end with this song because it's just so joyful and so wonderful. And I really want you to go out with hearing this in your hearts, you know, about the river of God. So, Lord, we just ask for that river to flow, yes, to flow in our hearts, Lord, to flow through us, to flow out into this community, Lord. Every place we go, we're going to carry just the fullness of God in this hour, this critical hour that we live in. Oh, Lord, we want more. We want more. We want much more than we've even received right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rising, rising. There is a current up a well, spring up a well, spring up a well in me. Nothing can stop this joy. We're dancing in the street. Spring up a well.
So my sister Diane just asked me if she could just give a weird word to the church. A weird? Is it a weird word? Well, okay. All right.
Doug, the Lord shows me that you have plays written, that you're really a playwright. You'd say you're a musician. The Lord says you're really a playwright. You write. You already have manuscripts with titles on them. The Lord showed them to me. Do you not? Within this group, you say, oh, we're a worship band, we're a worship team. I do a little of this and I do a little of that and, you know, step in where I'm needed. But within you, each one, individually, you have personal things, dreams and visions, things you've tucked away. Periodically, they get stirred. You think, yes, I should look at that again. The Holy Spirit says to you today, yes, look at that again. You think it's nice that you have it, that God gave it to you. It was never intended for you. It's intended for the people whose lives will be impacted by what the Holy Spirit has already given to you. Does that witness with you? It does. You, my dear, have many talents, many abilities, great gifting, tremendous gifting. It almost frightens you. And you get flashes of it. And you know you're the lead. You pull back, you don't want to be the lead. It's risky being the lead. But you will lead. You will lead. The papers will come out, you know, the old ones with the wrinkled down edges and the little scraps of paper. Take them out and read them. Put them together. It will do good for you. It will do good for many, many, many people that will come to the Lord. You, Mr. Electric Guitar, stand up. With the creative genius that you have within you, there will be tremendous addition. With this quiet sitting and the listening to the voice of the Lord, it will come very quickly. The Holy Spirit is going to show you others. And different times you think of them. You kind of think it like the good old days. But God's going to pull from your past some people that have different talent than yours. And he's going to use you in different places. You are not going to be just doing what it is that you'll be doing in one place. It will be here and there, and the calls will come quickly, and you will go. And your team will be mobile, says God. Little Miss Trumpet Player, your trumpet says words. Your trumpet says music and thrill and excitement and emotion. But your trumpet has a prophetic voice within it. And do you know it? Follow that prophetic voice that's within you to the place that God has for you. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm prophesying everybody out of here. But I think that God's going to use all of you in different ways. But he's going to pull every bit of gifting out of you if you will simply yield. And you will yield in this way, other Mr. Guitar Player, by turning off the blah, blah, blah. Because it's God's desire to speak with you in the most personal, painfully personal. Things that you don't even want to talk about. Things that you would say, it's over, let it go. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But in that speaking to you, he is going to heal you so completely and so thoroughly. And it will not be difficult. By just simply turning off the blah, blah, blah. I see your heart. And all around your heart, there's little, like a web. And God's going to disconnect those things that have brought you pain in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see a tremendous performance. Pastor Dave hit it when he talked about your creativity. The thing that the enemy will come and steal from each of you, each of you, each of you, all of you, every one of you, will be your creativity. Because it is within your creativity that will lead you forward in your life. Some of you will be great athletes. Have great desire to be an athlete. You already are, aren't you? God's going to use it to lead you on, to take you where he wants you to go. You think, well, I'm just from Solon, but you're not. You belong to God, and your gifts and your talents belong to God's people. And God's going to use you in a big way. Little girls are so funny. They all love to sing and dance. Ha, ha, ha. You know, it's so fun, huh? Is it so fun? It is so fun. Sing. Dance. Every opportunity you have. Sing. Dance. Play. Worship God. Have fun. Have fun. There is nothing more wonderful than fun. God wants you to have fun. Every day you should dance. Every day you should dress up. Every day you should dream. Every day you should plan a trip. Every day, a bucket list. What foolishness. You don't need a bucket list. You need a to-do list today. Today you take time to dance. Today you take time to sing. Today you disconnect from the blah, blah, blah. This is the day to disconnect from the blah, blah, blah. Say, I used to go to the mission field. It used to be great fun. That was then, this is now. No, nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing has changed. It's time to plan on your today list. These are good things from God. Thank you, Lord.